Off the ball. Rugby.
There was so much debate about Carberry around 7 or 8 years ago. And here we have a guy now playing for Bordeaux in France and kind of discarded by the Irish system as well. And
join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Football on Off the Ball.
With William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
For another Sunday kickback, it's Stephen Doyle with Keith Tracy after a brilliant performance and a brilliant win from Liverpool, 5-0 away to West Ham United. And from the start, Keith, we saw the West Ham team and we're kind of scratching our heads going, is this a back three? Which way are they approaching this game? What are they trying to do against Liverpool? And in the end, it just turned out to be a really negative mess from West Ham United.
Yeah, I understand why Lopetegui did what he did, putting Wan-Bissaka as a left wing back, putting Emerson as a left winger to try and tie up Trent Alexander-Arnold. And Wan-Bissaka being so good in 1v1 situations, he could probably deal with Salah. But for me, the reason that Wan-Bissaka is not at Manchester United anymore is because he's not a very intelligent footballer. He's not bad on the ball, he's good going forward in 1v1 situations. You know, he can be good, but on the ball, he's not the most intelligent. And if you're going to keep having him in the middle of the pitch and getting him on the ball, you know, you can go and nick the ball off of Wan-Bissaka so many times. And West Ham turned the ball over so easily in their own tour that it wasn't, you know, half of it was a good Liverpool press, most of it was just West Ham poor play. And they just didn't look at the races for me. After the first half an hour, you're thinking it's lucky to be still nil all, change how you're playing, go and do something a little bit different. But you just kept doing the same thing over and over and over. I know Wan-Bissaka goes to right back in the second half, but to be honest, the damage was done. That 15 minutes from 30th minute to the 45th minute, when Liverpool managed to score those three goals, they just blew West Ham away. And I know game management is a thing that's spoke about an awful lot, but West Ham have absolutely none of it. The start of the second half, they were never going to win that game of football. But what you can do is say, well, they're not going to score again. We're going to stink the house out. They'll beat us 3-0 and that'll be that. We'll show a bit of backbone. But they just keep doing what they were doing. 3-0 down, if I'm on that pitch, I'm saying, lad, shut up shop, that's the end of that, we don't concede anymore. But to keep playing the way you're playing and keep going the way you're going, Fulcrow comes on, a totally different centre forward to Jarrod Bowen, yet they still start playing the same way. It's nonsensical for me. You're sort of a halfish high line, which is not what you want. If you're Luis Diaz and Mo Salah and you see West Ham there and they're playing a high line, you're licking your lips thinking, lovely, because Trent Alexander-Arnold's delivery in behind is so hard that you don't want to be a centre half running towards your own goal. So the way Lopetegui set them up, I didn't think was great. In the second half, I didn't think was great. I think you can be a little bit more defensive, have a little bit more game management about you. And I'm not sure if it's modern football or how these new modern managers go about. Lopetegui's not a modern manager, but you've got to have a plan B. If plan A is not working, which it clearly wasn't in the first half, you've got to have something else. But West Ham just had plan A and plan A.
We will come to Liverpool, folks, don't worry, but it is interesting to stay with West Ham because they came into this game off the back of a good run, 4 matches unbeaten. They won 2, drew 2. And you're thinking the pressure's a bit off you and Lopetegui, and then he puts out a team like that. And I think one of the worrying things was as well, when you see a team like Liverpool against them, where every single player knows his position, knows his job within that team, although there is maybe a little small bit of room for freedom of expression with those Liverpool players. But the West Ham players all just look confused. Like, it's as if, especially in midfield as well, you've got players like Alvarez, Carlos Soler, Kudus, one of the brighter, I suppose, performances in that team. But a lot of players just don't seem to know what they're doing within that Lopetegui team.
Yeah, it does seem a little bit all over the place. You know, I'm saying if I was on the pitch, I would start playing a different way. Maybe there is players out there that have thought, you know what, I'm going to go and do a different thing. But you have to verbalise that to the rest of the players. You can't just go off and do your own thing. You've got to tell the rest of the lads, look, this isn't working, we're going to go and try a different thing. And if the manager gives you an earful, he gives you an earful. But you can always say, look, we're getting battered 3-0. I'm trying to try something different. But I think the message from Lopetegui is, this is, we're West Ham and this is how we're going to go about it. But what my reply to that would be, you're down in 14th in the league, you're not playing particularly good football, you've took a battering, you've took a couple of batterings this season, the high line doesn't seem to work. And I know we can look and say, look, Bowen came off, wasn't really at the races. Mikel Antonio, I think, is a big miss for them. Fulkrug not really coming to the party just yet, although, you know, at Borussia Dortmund he was good, for Germany he was good, he's had a big injury, he will need time to get into the West Ham team. But like I say, when he comes in, there's no balls going into the box. They're not asking questions of Kwanzaa. You've got to be smart enough to think, there's a young lad coming on who hasn't played an awful lot of football. Let's get on to him. Let's see if we can get a reward, because the lad next to him, Van Dijk, is one of the best centre-halves in the world. So I think you have to be a little bit more sensible about who you target and who you go after. For me, West Ham just thought, well, we'll attack and see where it brings us, rather than highlighting a weakness and going after it ruthlessly. West Ham, just drips and drabs, had really nothing about them today.
And they've got good players like Jarrod Bowen, one of the best players in the Premier League. They've got the likes of Lucas Paquetá, who can get on the ball, he can play, Kudus can play when they're fit as well. Fulcrum can score goals, we know that. Obviously Mikel Antonio, as you said, is a big miss. The likes of Mavropanos, who can be a good centre half, so there's the makings of a good team there. So is Lopetegui now a problem? Is losing by 5-0, albeit against the Premier League leaders, against a very good team, will that be taken into account, or do you think he's under real pressure now for his job over the next couple of weeks, heading into some very difficult looking fixtures as well?
Yeah, it's very difficult, because my mind goes straight back to last season under David Moyes, and West Ham, you know, doing actually quite well, but people feeling there was room for improvement. Maybe they could play a more expansive game of football, a more entertaining game of football, and stay where they are, which for me, the grass is not always greener on the other side. They've changed the manager, they've gone to Lopetegui, but I don't think that style suits them pretty much. I know they have good wingers, they've got Paquetá in the middle who can do things. Bowen playing through the middle for me is not something I like. Again, I think he's a brilliant footballer, one of the best attackers in the Premier League, but that's as a winger. I think if you play him as an out-and-out centre-forward, the likes of Van Dijk will just gobble him up, because he's quick, he's neat, he'll run into the channels. But in terms of being an aerial threat when Liverpool are pressing you in, you can't just pump the ball up to him and tell him to get a hold of it, because he's not the biggest man in the world. So, look, I think tactically, Lopetegui will be sitting at home tonight thinking we could have done things an awful lot different. I think they conceded over 20 shots on goal, which for that Liverpool front three, you know, they're going to hit the back of the net. And we all knew West Ham would need a little bit of luck at times. Arriola made some good saves, and the strange thing is they got battered 5-0, yet as Arriola is probably walking around with his head held high thinking, I made 3 or 4 decent saves there today, and that should be enough to get West Ham into the game and be competitive. But to make 5 decent saves and still concede 5, it just goes to show you how one-sided the game was.
Absolutely. Liverpool, meanwhile, they're showing us they can win in so many different ways. They've ground out a couple of 1-0s in the Champions League. They've gone behind in games. They've come from behind against Leicester City the other night, winning 3-1 after going 1-0 down. We saw them against Fulham going down to 10 men, going behind twice in that game, still getting a point. They're fighting. They've got character, but they're also playing with a great style and panache. It just seems like Arne Slot has produced one of the most perfect Liverpool teams we've ever seen.
Yeah, I'm not sure how you go after this Liverpool team, because, you know, you can say we'll be front foot, we'll be aggressive when we'll get after them. The Liverpool, the likes of Trent, Van Dijk, Alisson at the back, they can keep the ball, Andy Robertson can keep the ball really well, fire it into McAllister in the midfield, and he can control things in there. So if you go hell for leather in a press, they can easily play through you, or they'll just throw one over the top for Salah, Jota, Nunes, Luis Diaz to get after, and then you're facing towards your own goal. If you go and sit off them, you're inviting the likes of a Trent to start whipping balls in as well. So I'm not too sure, but West Ham for me, with that full court press, when they're not really getting after anybody, you could see they wanted to go full court press, but the Liverpool passing was so sharp and so accurate that you thought, I'm not really sure I want to go in there. So it was half-hearted from minute one. And yeah, to be fair, they were just a little bit all over the press. And the one thing I noticed about the West Ham team, not just the defenders, didn't seem to be any leaders whatsoever. Kudus over here across, nobody gave him an earful, nobody said he should do better. The recovery runs were non-existent after he went 3-0 down, yet there's nobody giving out to each other. It just seemed to be, well, we're getting beaten by a better team, let's just all accept it and move on. And that's not what you want. You want that little bit of, you know, there should be fisticuffs in that dressing room, there should be verbals, there should be people really, really unhappy with what has just happened. Yeah, I feel the fans are more disappointed than the players, and that should never be the case. It seemed like the West Ham players just took their baiting from early doors. And look, I think you can take your baiting, you can lose the game 3-0 in the second half, but go and show a bit of game management, go and show you can see you're up against a better team. But to just accept it, which I feel they did, isn't good enough for me.
There would be a lot of focus, and quite rightly, on Liverpool's attack. And as we mentioned during the commentary, there's goals coming from everywhere. You know, we had the attacking midfielders all scoring the other night against Leicester City. Mo Salah is just in scintillating form. He's record-breaking all over the shop this season. I do think it's interesting, though, that the platform, and we know that defence is very solid. They got a clean sheet today, which is the first one since the Man City game. But that midfield base that provides that platform, I think, is really interesting, because Gravenberch, a lot of people wrote off at the end of last season. He'd come in there and played really well, and rightly has been praised for it. And Alexis McAllister beside him. What are they doing for Liverpool, do you think, that's providing that platform for the attacking players?
Well, I think the one thing, what he can talk about, Curtis Jones, Endo, Szoboszlai, McAllister, Gravenberch, whoever it is, the three that play in there, they communicate really, really well. Never do all three vacate the midfield and go all in attack. There's always somebody trying to mind the shop, and whether it's Gravenberch, McAllister, Curtis Jones is somebody who I looked at and thought, yeah, there's something there. I'm not quite sure he's good enough for Liverpool at the start of the season, but since he's come in, he's been absolutely brilliant. Made his England debut, scored on his debut, and every player that comes in from the cold into the Liverpool team are contributing, they're giving something. The subs aren't coming in and just filling a hole, they're producing something. Even Endo comes in, just does a job, gets it done, and they move on. So there's, you know, I look at the front five for Liverpool and you think that's their strongest area. You could look at the midfield and think, well, that's their strongest area, and defensively they're really, really strong. So all areas of the pitch look really strong for Liverpool. Looking at it from the rest of the Premier League's point of view, you do think if Salah gets injured, maybe there would be an avenue in for another team. But Salah's so robust, very, very rarely gets injured. And to be honest, this is probably a little bit out there, but I don't think Salah was at his best today. I really don't. I think he could have had 3 or 4 goals if he was a little bit more ruthless, but sometimes it gets a little bit too easy for you and you just keep going along with it. And like, he was a little bit wasteful, but how can you say that when he's 2 assists and a goal in a game, you know?
Absolutely. To mention as well that defence, because they've lost Joe Gomez to injury. We don't know how serious that is. Hopefully it's not too serious. From a Liverpool perspective, Ibrahima Kanali's already out. And as I said to you during commentary, Kwanzaa hasn't really followed up on what we saw was really good form last season in the Premier League, albeit for a very young central defender. We know it's the position where it takes a bit of time to mature. So that maybe is one area where they're going to have a weak point over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I think obviously Kwanzaa coming in, you will highlight him. I think teams are starting to highlight Andy Robertson in a defensive vein as well. I think in 1v1 situations, he's been so good over the last couple of years that he's just starting to come down the levels. I'm not saying by any stretch of the imagination he's a weak link, but I do think if you're a right winger and you're a flyer, there's every chance you can get past him. But Liverpool protect each other so well. Van Dijk will come across. He will make sure that if somebody does go past Robertson, he's there to fill a gap. So it's a brilliant, brilliant set, a brilliant team, tactical, out of possession and in possession. They just run forward. The Liverpool strikers run forward, they play forward, they run forward, and it doesn't have to be a ball at the feet. So often people think, I need to play at the people's feet. Salah just shows you his body shape in behind and tells you, play it in there and I'll sprint after with everything I have. And so often it's a 70-30 ball in the defender's favour, yet Salah's presence, it just pops out to him. And even the goal where it pops out, and he doesn't even have the ball under control, he's just so sharp in his movements that you're not really sure what he's going to do. He doesn't have it under control, but manages to squirm the ball out the Gakpo, and it's an easy finish for him. He's just so hard to tie down. And look, he's a brilliant, brilliant player, and I would echo everything that Jamie Carragher has said about him. Give him what he wants just to keep him, you know, as a neutral, I want him in the Premier League. I want to see him again here next year.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I said it, I went on social media after the Leicester win, Keith, I said, this is Liverpool's title, it's done now. I feel that they're playing like they're the only team that are showing consistently good performances. Now, maybe within games they've had some poor patches, but generally they've played really well in every game. They're knocking out the wins one after the other. They've had one defeat so far this season against Nottingham Forest. They learned from that. They moved on. They showed character. They showed good performance. They showed everything you want from a league title winning team. They've got a 9-point lead now. Arsenal could close that gap, but Liverpool, of course, still have the game in hand against Everton to play, which you'd imagine they should win, even though it is the last derby at Goodison Park. Can you see anybody stopping them now?
Well, no. The answer would be no. And again, for as good as Liverpool's been, you're looking at somebody, and the closest rivals are Nottingham Forest. I think everybody's expecting them to come off the boil at some point, which is fair enough. They've been absolutely brilliant so far. You're looking at Arsenal without Bukayo Saka. That injury until March, I think, really, really stunts their growth. Chelsea, I think they've done brilliant under Enzo Maresca, but again, I expect them to filter down the league at some point. So do I see anybody catching Liverpool? No, I really don't. I think Manchester City are out of it now. They've been so poor. Not just the results, the performances over the last probably 8 to 10 weeks just haven't been anywhere near the level. So for me, Liverpool, massive, massive favourites. It would, you know, you need them to fall off a cliff now at this stage for, you know, Liverpool, for Arsenal, Chelsea to catch them.
Yeah, just to finish then on Arsenal, because they're playing in a couple of days' time when they get to the chance to close that gap. It's against Brentford. Arsenal are kind of funny this season, because I know there seems to be a huge reliance on set-piece goals. They just feel like they haven't clicked into gear yet. So, yeah, as an Arsenal supporter, maybe Arsenal supporters will take a bit of optimism or confidence from that. They feel maybe that our team can be better this season.
Yeah, I think I wouldn't say we've been unlucky, but you look at the set pieces. Set pieces have been brilliant, a big, big plus for us. But the goals, when Odegaard got injured from open play, just seemed to dry up that little bit. So we were reliant on the set piece goals. Now Odegaard's back in, creating those chances. We've lost Saka, the big, big outlet for us. So set pieces are going to be big for us. And I'm looking at some of Liverpool's set pieces today, a whole bunch of them setting at the back stick and then coming back in. It is Arsenal-esque. And look, I've played in teams. I know Sam Allardyce teams, Sean Dyche teams, where set pieces were bread and butter and you go and make them work. And look, it's a great avenue for winning games, for losing games as well. If you score from set pieces, you'll generally be up around the right end of the end of the table. But do we see that being enough for Arsenal to really give us a title race against Liverpool? I don't think so. And it's not just in the Premier League that Liverpool have been impressive. It's in the Champions League as well. They've been absolutely unbelievable.
So reading between the lines, can I take from that you're saying Sam Allardyce maybe should be a target for West Ham?
Possibly. Look,
get him back to London Stadium.
Well, to be fair, what do West Ham fans want? Because I go back to the David Moyes thing. Probably not entertaining, but they were up the right end of the table. They're going into Europe. They're, you know, on the end of the European races. They've Lopetegui in now. And, you know, it just looks like it's not going to work. Sometimes style, it's just not the same. You get a manager in and think, go and impose your style onto this dressing room. I think players dictate tactics, not managers dictate tactics. Mm. And if you don't have the players available, then you can't play them tactics. And Ruben Amorim coming into Manchester United, this is the way I play. They will fall into the line with how I want it. It's a lot easier to get a manager, to get the players to play how the manager wants, rather than a manager coming in saying, everybody fall into line how I want. But, you know, it is what it is. I think it's modern day football that sometimes it's style over substance.
Yeah, funny, isn't it? Arsenal have shown that Big Sam, maybe there is room in the game for him still. Anyway, that's been brilliant, Keith. Thanks a million for that, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Football on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
Off the Ball rugby.
There was so much debate about Carberry around 7 or 8 years ago, and here we have a guy now playing for Bordeaux in France and kind of discarded by the Irish system as well. And
join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.